When you conclude today, though I suspect you pick it up again sometime in March for maybe another cycle. Matthew 28. Knowing and following the lead of the Spirit. Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority that was power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, we have looked at this text to say that Jesus expects us to grow by observation. And the word observe is watario, is used to keep, like it's going to get missing. So it's our responsibility, therefore, to observe the things that he did and the things that he has done. So almost like, you know, it's going to get missing, which means that when it comes to growth, there's a lot of carefulness. You don't grow unconsciously. Let me add one more. You don't follow the Lord unconsciously. It's deliberate. Teaching them, didasco in the Greek, which is a practice of educating people to observe. In other words, to look intently. And we said that, we said, Lord, I'm with you always, which is the word oraho, to look pictures. Oraho is used for pictures most of the time. And so we said you must therefore look out for words and what else? Pictures. Alright? In the leading of the Spirit, words and pictures. Now, of course, also we said that how is this possible? He's leaving and he says, lo, I'm with you always. And we said the way he's with us always is by the indwelling of the Spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. Let's turn there one more time. Or again, John's Gospel 14 and verse 16. I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be where? In you. Now, I want you to observe something that he mentions later on. In verse 20, he talks about, in that day you know I'm in my Father, verse 20, and you in me and I in you. In verse 23, he says, I and my Father will come, and unto you, unto him, and make our abode with him, which is an explanation of John 14, 2 and 3, and John 14, 16, 17. Now go to chapter 15, just something very quick. I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Okay? Every branch in me that bears not fruit, verse 2, he takes away. Now the word taken away there, it doesn't mean he remove you from Christ. It's the word to lift up. Hyreo in the Greek, which means to lift up. Now it's understood when you use that phrase in farming in the Jewish culture, it means it's not bearing fruit, means it's becoming stunted in growth. So you raise it up, you raise it up to treat the lack of fruitfulness. But notice something here. He says, in every branch, which is italicized, that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth much fruit. So the Father is working in the church. The Father is working in the believer. Say, the Father is working in me. So he says, if he's not bearing fruit, he raises it up so he can bear fruit. It is bearing fruit, again, he purges it so it can bear more fruit. No, what does that tell you? That tells you spiritual growth is forever. You keep growing. I said this on Sunday, I think, or the second service, that you don't lead the Christian life on reserve knowledge. You say, well, I've heard it before. You don't do that. You hear God's word always like a child. You have that attitude. James 1:21. It says, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of godliness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. So notice that spiritual growth, therefore, is an everyday activity. Everyday activity. When I was younger, I remember then my cousins used to live with us. And so some of them were older. I don't know whether I've lived in that kind of setting before, where you had different age grades. So you would form different clubs based on your age grade. We had my own group, those who were younger, those who were fairly older, and those who were, you know, grand cousins in that sense. So oftentimes my mom would buy things and she would say, no, it's not for you. You have grown. It's for those who are growing. And I kind of like not to grow. it's like, so you know, in that mentality, oh, you've grown up, he's still growing. That's not applicable. It's very good. You are always growing. You are always growing. So you don't see, so you must have an attitude. That is, you don't see your study of the word until a time. You don't see your following Christ, your devotion until a time. So when someone tells you, well, I used to do that when I was a younger Christian. Why are you doing it again? Well, you know, you have done backflip. Some people don't even do backflip. They jump the fence. I jump. Hallelujah. It was when I was a younger Christian and when I go to church. Someone was saying years back on one blog like that. And it says, I used to take notes. I said, but now I know that it's not about taking notes. It's about assimilation and meditation. Oh, wow. Come on. Tell me something, man. Signs and wonders, divers, miracles. Tell the truth, man. The great word of what you have done is called backsliding. Hallelujah. So he, the fire is working in us. If we are bearing fruit, we should bear what? More fruit. If we are not bearing fruit, we should bear fruit. So do I have this special relationship with God. This relationship I have with God. You know, God understands me. That's interesting. You are a closest son. You are a closest son. A closest son. This is my beloved son in whom I can't disclose. So Christ working in us is the Father working in us. And the Father leads us. Praise the Lord. He leads us. Glory to His name. So He does that by His Spirit. All the workings of Christ today, let me say something quickly. Christ doesn't work in the government. Christ doesn't walk in the government. Say that one more time for emphasis. Christ doesn't walk in the university. Christ doesn't walk in the, he doesn't walk in circumstances. Christ walks by the Spirit. Where you see the Spirit, that's where Christ walks. Where you see the Spirit, that's where He leads. So, can God lead me through an unsaved man? How? Can an unsaved man give me a good advice? Yes. I listen to believers, I won't graduate. Praise the Lord. I won't graduate. You know? So, can an unbeliever, an unsaved man, teach you how to drive? Very likely. An unsaved man can teach you how to organize. You organize well. How to run your business well. But I want to listen to an unsaved man who has not attached anything spectacular to me. I want to hear someone teach me business without mentioning God. Don't say, we thank God, we thank God. You in Nigeria, when you say we thank God, say, what do you mean? You know, it's the grace of God. I remember one, I almost disclosed the identity. The fact was, you know, someone I knew very well. So I want to check her in our room, Queens Hall, University of the Bible. She was, I think it's the first year. So she had just disclosed to a colleague how the colleague taught her what to write in the exam hall. She said, if not for you, I wasn't get those answers. She just said, I was there. The virgin was gone. Someone else said, I was there. I said, we thank God. In the same prayer. So were you able to say, I finished it by the grace of God. So I thought, what exactly do you mean? You know, there are some words that come out of our mouth easily. We thank God. It is well. You know, it is well. What do you mean? Well, Lord. You know, so you be careful. So can an unsaved man tell me what do? Yep. But can an unsaved man, can God lead me in an unsaved man? No. God walks by his spirit. Know that very well. God walks by his spirit. Where the spirit of God is, that's where God is. Where the spirit of God is, that's where he's leading it. You know, many times, let me add this to you. You know, sometimes in this series, I have my notes. Let me show you my notes in this series. I want to show you something. This is my notes, and I have got a lot of information that I have not taught. But 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks I think, I was preparing, and the Lord said, you are teaching them how to be led and follow. I said, yes. He said, but you are not practicing it. I said, I didn't get that because I had my notes there. He said, no. When you started, you knew in your heart that you were going to share certain things that you have not even put down. That's true. You know? Because he wanted me in this particular series to just be led before it and during the teaching. And so I had to now take my own medicine. And this is the kind of teaching that, you know, the times like that, you prepare your notes, fine. And there are other times, exception, before you go and start that. I got it. There are other times like that, he just says, you know what? Just go. Free. When I taught them, the leading of the Holy Ghost meetings, that precept by example, he just says, go, teach. I usually will know what I'm going to teach when I'm there. Praise the Lord. Surprise? So it doesn't mean that I'll go there and go and say, that scripture, you remember there? That's not what I mean by that. So don't mix it up. So he really wanted me to put some emphasis. Sometimes, you know, you need to remind yourself of things you thought you knew. Hallelujah. So, where is God? In His Spirit. His Spirit is in believers. Right? So, if His Spirit is in believers, He can only lead me through believers. Now, let me add one more. You know, many times, even a believer who walks in the flesh might not be trusted. You know what I mean by that? We used to call them B-O-L, believer on lead. You know, we have a rule, a way with our lead. So we used to have, oh, that guy, we just know that guy. It's a B-O-L. There's some guys. They use of the Spirit of God is by accident. So you don't trust other people. You listen, but you don't trust. So God leads us by His Spirit. So where is the Spirit of God? You know the surest place. You just say the Spirit of God is in our midst. Why do you say the Spirit of God is in our midst? Because you believe in your heart that we are all believers. What if you're wrong? Let me say one more mysterious thing. What if we've all missed the rapture? You know, I've acted a drama before of a church service after the rapture. Two, actually. And then we're asking how we're going to use our blood to save ourselves and prevent ourselves from getting 666. So in the drama, one of the dramas, I just said, let me take this 66 once and for all. I can't see myself. And when we're done with the drama, I said, let us pray for God, no. That everything he has asked to do should not happen to him in Jesus' name. I said, you guys are lucky, man. What we have passed through. Jesus knows. Anyway, I like it here. Okay, you assume the Spirit of God is here because we are believers. But where you should be surest is in your heart. Hallelujah. Because you are born again. Where you should be surest is in your heart. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, no, that word lead means we're led from the flesh to the Spirit, led from works to the grace of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God from bondage to freedom, they are the sons of God. We have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Years ago, I remember, okay, let me quickly talk about that. So, you know you're born again because you have the Spirit of God in you. Is that same assurance with which you know God leads you? I remember years ago we were doing this study. We had just read this book by Brother Hagin, How to be Led by the Spirit of God. It was 1994. We read a book by somebody else. I almost mentioned his name. And then we said, no, this looks like more of God's leading. Now, a friend of mine now point our attention to something very, very salient. I never noticed it. This was 95 before. He said that, because that wasn't the first time I read it, but I read the book before once or twice. So he said, did you notice that the inward witness is only mentioned in the book of Romans? And we saw it, yeah, Romans 9:1 and Romans 8:16. He said, interestingly, it is the safest way to be led by the Spirit of God, yet has not much information. And I was a bit bothered because I felt, well, if we have said this much about the inward witness, then we just have two texts, Romans 9:1, that was then, as my study of God would have been expanded now, I won't say that again. But he said that. Then another one now spoke and said, yes, we can find the inward witness all over the book of Acts. It's just like tongues. Aside 1 Corinthians 14, maybe a reference to 12, Tongues can only be found in the book of Acts. Yet, it's such a practice. In other words, you know, when he said that, he got my attention. And I said, true. So therefore, the book of Acts, therefore, will be a book of practice. Where I see it, practice. So, the Father, by His Spirit, leads us. Therefore, I shouldn't look for leading where God's Spirit is not present. Now, I said, the surest place where the Spirit of God is where? In your heart. Okay? Of course, not the believers, no doubt. But I should know where to find leading. Leading is found where the Spirit of God is. But God is everywhere. Ooh. Is it your shoe? God is everywhere. Is it the devil? No. No. God is in the believer. That's where you're sure. So your mind must be established to this basic truth of God's word. He leads us by His Spirit. So the inward witness will be the impressions of Christ. What do we call the inward witness? We define the inward witness. I've been using this definition for 24 years. We define the inward witness as years back, and I haven't had the cause to change it. It is the witness of the human spirit born again. The witness of the human spirit is born again, which witnesses to, refutes, endorses, cautions. That's a new one, right? Cautions against a fact exposed to it. The witness of the human spirit born again, or the life of God in the believer, that witnesses to, endorses, refutes, cautions a fact which is exposed to it. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I shared this with a preacher during the week. I said, years ago, I've never, and I was very young in the ministry, about 3 years in the ministry, had never seen bread. I'd heard about bread before, but I now saw bread, you know when I say bread, in their glory. So I got really discouraged that how would I walk with people, and we're walking together in ministry, and we're praying together in ministry, and these people totally betray you. Betrayal is wrong. When people talk to you, do you understand? And I really felt very bad. I felt I was very young in the ministry. I'm still young, but not very young, all right? And I was really, really, I felt bad. I felt very bad. And the interesting thing about this was, those who came to me to talk to me, I would do strong face. I said, oh, God. So I told myself, I've made up my mind what I was going to do. I was going to leave the country. And I just told myself, take some time off ministry, just cool off for some time. You know, I know how we do ministry. I know how to preach the gospel. This is my life. And one thing about it is when I had the ASU strike, so I had enough time to also be on strike. It was probably longest back then. So I made up my mind to leave. I knew what I was going to do, not to be led by the Spirit of God. I knew it. I knew all I had to do was to plan. set the ball rolling such that it's like you take off as a plane. You say, we have to go. I knew what I have to do, and I knew that if I set this rolling, nothing would change it. I didn't get anybody in the ministry then. I was just teaching them, telling them to leave the country. And I knew I was not going to expose that fact to my spirit. I just put it in my head, and I planned it, and I walked it through. Till one day I asked the question, if you're not led by God, and you do the wrong thing, God has nothing to lose. And maybe I have to add one more thing that someone told me years ago, that he told another preacher. He said he looked into his eyes and said, God is not afraid of you. I don't know whether you understand that. That God is not afraid of me. And one other thing I've learned over the years is that God can replace you. If he sends you to do something, you don't do it, he'll send someone else. You know? And so I told myself, oh, God is losing nothing. I will lose. How would I bear it in my life? Carrying on my conscience, a life of disobedience, knowing that I'm out of God's will and God's purpose and plan. How do I want to put away the visions and revelations I've had? How do I want to quickly throw that away? How do I want to throw away the prophecies? How do I want to throw away a pattern God has set for me? Relationships that go into my life. How do I want it? Because I discovered if I didn't walk this and he did it, what I'm trying to walk out will be in the flesh. So I knew what's wrong. The inward witness is that which prompts your heart to a fact that you're exposed to. It's only me to see that. So that's Christ's impression. I said, what are for? What are for? Impressions of Christ in your heart. Now, the word inward witness, or the witness in Romans 8:16, is the word sum material, sum material, thereabout. It means a joint witness. And it always has an impression to it. Romans 9:1, Paul says, my spirit bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a minister of the gospel, precisely, and all Christians are, in maturity, you need to learn about the inward witness. And you need to follow it. You have to learn it and follow it. Every time. So, pay attention here. There are impressions of Christ on our heart. What can the inward witness reveal to me? The inward witness can reveal destinations supernaturally. Destinations supernaturally. Sometimes I have different places. I'm going for evangelism. Naturally, I just go preach. You know, there's no nothing but to preach. But there are times that I'm going to preach. I want to go in places. And I'm saying, okay. And I'm writing where I want to go. And I wrote Ikeja. I wrote Oshodi. I must watch the reaction of my spirit as I'm writing. Sometimes as I write Ikeja, I just go back to it. What about this street? What about this too? Because the inward witness will caution, endorse a fact. So writing a name is a fact. You sense it in your heart. A destination. Where to go, where not to go. What else? The inward witness can also walk with a conversation. In evangelism, as you go to preach, not just evangelism now, I'm just talking generally, but I just want to pick out evangelism. You can have, just like Jesus, discussion that can become landmark discussion. He was tired, sat at the well, and that conversation has saved many millions till date. Because his disciples had gone to get food, he's waiting for them. That means he was hungry. See? But your disposition, your work schedule, is not an excuse not to be led. And he got into this discussion and he expanded it. Now let me say this. Jesus didn't get into every conversation. There are conversations he never had. But here we have a conversation that has become a landmark to eternity. A friend of mine said this years ago, bless me. He said, let's watch what we write in letters. I said, why? He said, Paul could never have known that you and I who read that letter he wrote to Ephesus today. He said, imagine if you wrote emotions. Imagine if you wrote anger. Imagine if you wrote funny things. He said, he wrote the word. He wrote what the Spirit of God wanted to be written. That got my attention. Even though I meant not to write things by my father. The day I got to my father's shelf, and I saw that all the letters I wrote to him were fired. It was the ones that I thought I was doing human rights defense. And when I said to Lito, he kept everything like the book of life. So I said, from now I'll just use words. Let them quote it. But the truth is, what my friend told me was a blessing. Do you try to be led when you are writing? You know, sometimes you're writing stuff and you want to say something and then you have a check on your heart. Don't use that word. You understand what I'm saying? Don't use that word. Or you've written something and then they say, no, delete it. You feel so bad because you have put energy to write the whole thing. To say it, and then you have that check in your heart. Say, don't do it. And there are things also you want to express. Then you have a check, don't do it. So, there are, watch out for the leading of the Spirit in your conversations. Hallelujah. I was talking to a lady. This is not a good example, but I can tell you this is my experience, you know. And then she had moved from serving the Lord. This is a very strange one. She had moved from serving the Lord to something very close to idol worship. And this is when I was a pastor. And so I engaged her. That was 2013 or so, 12. And I said, were there people you were relating with? And from the moment you picked your call to call them, you had a check on your heart. She said, yes. What did you do? She said, oftentimes I just ignored it. Said, then you passed it, said, kill. You stop ignoring. and you totally just killed it? Say yes. At that point, your heart became dull. I'm going to get to that shortly. And so, you now felt very light. She said, yes. Okay. So, now, any kind of information can get to your mind without a check. Yeah. Because there were warning signals, you knew it. But you just said, the conversation, as you picked up to dial the number, you had a check on your heart. There are places you wanted to go to, and you said, why should I go there? And you wondered, why am I having doubts, or why am I troubled about going here? Well, it's better to be careful than to be sorry. Praise the Lord. Brother Hagin taught us this. He said, it's better to be a little slower than God than to be fast. Every believer always has those checks. Every believer. So that conversation you knew you ought not to have had at all. Have you had some conversations and you were done and you felt, really, really drained spiritually? Yes, you saw me was, why did I even get into this at all? Praise the Lord. I'll go back to what I said. There are spirit-led destinations, you go here, and you preach there. Spirit-led destination. So you do this at this time. And that's just how you're led. In a spirit-led conversation. In other words, the Spirit of God can be involved in a conversation. Let me add this. It is only an unsaved person that has no rule over his spirit. And so he can say anything that he wants to say and the way he wants to say it. Say, I'm born again. I walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit. So you're not a freelancer. Just so the believers don't say our minds. We're not told to say our minds. We're told to renew our minds. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. We're told to renew our minds. We're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not give occasion to serve the flesh. Romans 13 verse 12 and 13 and 14. And give no occasion to serve the flesh. So there are spirit-inspired conversations and activities. You know, remember years ago, the Lord just said, take a walk around this place. There was a particular town and pray. And I was just walking. I was praying. Spirit-led activities. And as I was praying, certain things were coming to my heart. Oftentimes, don't look at the result, look at the process. What happened? In the process, I learned this. I learned that. That spirit-led activity. Jesus, Matthew 4:1, was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. It's an activity. And he was there tempted of the devil where he fasted. He's led by the Spirit. You can be led to fast. God speaks to you and says, you're going to do, take a night, an all night, this week, every day. You then begin to think, every day, my walk, my habit jumps, I have this one. You know what? Just do it. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. And you know, because you're born of God, you know deep down your heart is God talking to you. But I prayed during the day. No, he
said at night. Why didn't Jesus fast in the hotel room? He's wrapping up fasting. God is everywhere.
No, he was led to a place. Hallelujah. He was led. He was led.
Praise the Lord.
So, the spirit-led destinations, activities, the spirit-led conversations, and their spirit-forbidden conversations. The times are led to cut the call. Can I have an amen? The times are led not to pick the call. Can I have an amen? You need to know that.
Yeah.
Led by the spirit of God. Not to pick the call. Not to do it.
What if the person says, I called you throughout last year, I didn't pick my call.
Hey, sorry, I was very, just, look, I was busy. They're busy doing what? Following God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you proud to say you're following God? Are you ashamed to say you're following God? And let my zeal, I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I was elect to come.
You guys say, well, we want to do this and all that. So we're going to be on television. We're going to be on this one. I said, I'm not doing it.
He said, why? I said, I'm not led.
And I finished saying that. He said, well, look at what I'm saying. I said, I'm not led.
He said, look at it.
I'm sorry. Doesn't work like that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. When you're praying, watch out for the leading. So, let's go on. Spirit-led conversations. Let me say on that a bit. The conversations you should have.
And at times, God's Spirit will tell you to pick the call and call your pastor. Call that brother. Call that, you know.
Because God gives us relationships for this purpose. Hear me. There are many things God wants to do in our life and to us that He will put into others, and He wants us to be in relationships with them. That's how we do.
And so, the way you treat those relationships is as good as you're treating the leading of the Spirit.
Now, that looks like, I just said earlier, that where you should trust the most is the Spirit of God in your heart.
Exactly.
And you also know by the Spirit of God in your heart that there are people He has brought to you for that purpose. I told people, there is no gifting, there is no leading of God's Spirit in my life for ministry. No gifting, no leading, no direction that I've received in the last few years, a few days since I began the work of the ministry, that was not received by people. There's none. There's none. I always look out for those things to be clear with the people He has brought into my life. And sometimes they include people I'm pastoring. And I learned to listen. I remember last year, I went to Youth Foundation Center. Youth Foundation Center was a place we grew up in the 80s and 90s. And so, I sat down there. They were planning for a camp meeting. And so God just wanted me to witness something. And I sat down there, and I saw a picture of what they were doing. They were trying to pick the theme of the camp. And usually, back then, they'll ask us to go pray. And when we pray, then you say, what is Lord's name on your heart? You tell us, then we look at it, and everybody look at whatever is the overall leading. We eventually pick it. But it's always God. And so he asked me to sit down, just watch it again, to remind myself of something. There's sometimes like that. You need to remind yourself of how the Lord leads you. Praise the Lord. I was telling a young man 2 days ago, I said, you don't teach an old dog new tricks. You know? So it's important that you know that. There are conversations, there are activities. And I said, the Lord can lead you to give. And I asked the question last week, when was the last time you were led to give? I'm not talking about offering. Even offering. Even though sometimes you're going to church and God tells you, pick 100,000. Pick 1,000,000. God, no, there's no project in church. No, that's what I want you to pick today. And sometimes you say, give this away to that brother. You know, but if that comes to you sometimes, you feel, I bind you, Satan. Blood of Jesus is against you. You can't take away my possession by leading. You know, you can be led to give. You can be led. You can be led to. I told someone, I said, I just heard the Lord say to me, give you this. And they were all a team. They were going for a mission trip. I didn't even know. I just called him. He was on Facebook. I said, you guys have something to do. I didn't say, the Lord is showing me. I just said, yeah. I said, yeah. They were trying to travel together. And all that. They were students, but they were going on a mission trip. I said, how much is the bill? He told me it was, how much it was. And I had the figure. I said, I saw the figure before you. He said, send me the account. Now, he told me they had gathered the money to that amount. Praise God. And I said, well, does it make any difference? I didn't ask you whether you had the money or not. I only asked you how much it will cost. Because that was what I was paid to do. So I sent the money. He saw. I wasn't. When they came back, he said, sir, we never knew we were going to spend far more than what we took. But God did. And a man decides to obey God. Imagine if we all, and myself inclusive, get led by the Spirit of God like that oftentimes, we're going to help many ministries, many believers in need. You see, the trash called prosperity nonsense. Now, is prosperity good? Yes. Prosperity means to have more, to possess more, by your hard work and other things. But you see, a prosperity that teaches you to just get, and teaches you to give so that you can get, is not just evil, it is very, very evil. We should be taught to be led to give unto us. When was the last time you prayed and you saw someone in your heart, in your spirit? When you have food, that's how believers see. Because the leader of the Spirit of God fulfills God's will in the earth. For me and for others. I'm led to give. I'm led to pray. I'm led to pray. Now, I know there are prayer points every week that you pray about, but sometimes you're just led to pray. And you're led to pray about something else. Just led to pray about something. And it's on your heart to pray about this. God, let's say, pray about this. You begin to pray. Led to pray. Led again. Led again. Pray. You're led to preach. One day I saw somewhere to preach. The Lord said to me, say, don't leave the pulpit. And I'm saying it, so I'm leaving it, but I'm saying it. So it says, stay on the pulpit throughout. Now, I learned to preach watching Dr. Fred Price. One of the things that I liked about him was that he was moving around. for many times in the Christian Center. He would drop the kingdom, he would drop his Bible somewhere, then he'd go around and say, "Sir, where's my Bible?" You know, you see me say, man, said, "Where was I? I got that from him. Where was I? Where did I get here?" You know, so I learned that. And I was one of those things, you know, don't leave the pulpit. I'm like, don't leave the pulpit. Someone's going to stay like this. Well, I did. The pastor now took the mic. After I've ministered, then he says, "Thank God for men of God like this. Not those young jobs is dumping around the church." I said, "Oh, oh my word." I said, like, "Amen, Shonda." Oh my God. Amen. We left. Even in the illustrations you give, almost 75% or 100% of where I'm called to teach and preach, pastors and the members and leadership will say, "It's like you heard something about our church before you preached." And I said, "No. No." Because sometimes you have straight-led illustrations, useless illustrations. So do not be touched. The leading of the Spirit from those activities. Preaching, we're led, sometimes we're led to pray, I said that. Sometimes we're led to say nothing. Nothing. Must you talk? Say nothing. What scripture? Tell you to be quiet. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. That's the Bible. Tell you to be quiet. Yes, just shut up. Say nothing. Nothing. So I let you say nothing. Not will now say it later. I was just watching. You let me say nothing. So much I let you beware. To beware. Praise the Lord. They're led to beware. Because Jesus told people, beware. They're led to beware. To beware means to be cautious. To look at something with caution. As well as believers, we must learn to yield to God in this simple thing. Very simple. As you're writing, as you're talking, even in your office, you're doing an office work and you're all engrossed, you'll be surprised that though you're writing maybe a report, a medical doctor, you're writing something about your patient and then God's talking to you about somebody else. That's interesting. You're writing about your project plan in your office, or you're studying for an examination. And then God lays it on your heart to do something. I remember I was doing my bar exam, and I was in the law school, preparing, reading, and I was there to see someone. Just there to see her. And I said, "I'm a twin brother." Said, "What's the truth? I want to see you together." I was just led to see them. But I thought I should be led to know the exam question. You're led. What? You're doing something else? What? He says, "Call that fellow." But I'm trying to prepare this report. Call that fellow now. Now. Pray for that fellow now. Now. You could be led when you're... I finished watching an Arsenal game in the days of Arsene Wenger. And I was really... This particular game was a horrible one, and I'm feeling really... Don't call me at that time. It's not a good time. Not a good time. But not anymore. Now,
I have a dependence, you know, just. So they start to call me and say, sir, my sister is in a coma. And I'm saying, that's not true. I didn't say that. Everybody was in a coma. But before she got into the coma, she dropped your address that she called you a couple of days ago. I said, eh? So I felt, what do I do? She just said, I should call you to pray for her. I said, eh? Well, I have to take care of my asthma troubles. And I said, okay, are you where she said, I'm going to get to her shortly. I think it was a Montgomery the clinic there, so I think that's the Montgomery or the Avery, one of the two. And she said, and I said, put the phone in her ear. I was just, okay, fine. And, wow. I wasn't ready. I planned to do something else, but God wanted someone else to come back to life. So, it looks strange. Sometimes you're not thinking about it. And as I ministered to the glory of God, she came back to life. I shared the story before. So sometimes it's not what you're thinking. Sometimes it's not even what you're planning. But God will lay things on your heart for you to do them. And I've told you before, because God is a God of second chance. You have heard that before. I've showed you one sequence before. Can you remember? I've showed you a sequence before. You have forgotten. Yeah, remember. I showed you 1, 2, 3. You forgot it. You forgot it 1, 2, 3. I've showed you before. I said, don't quote me. Can you remember? You forgot it. Jesus told people he came to tell, to pray. The third time he said, it's done that the prayer is free from. You know what that is? God telling you, sleep. The time has passed. God is saying, don't pray. The time of prayer has passed. Okay. I remember Rick Godwin said this in one teaching I listened to in 1994. He has one of my friends, Pastor Benga Marfa. And he said, the teaching was a leader. He said, to obey is better than speaking in tongues. I said, eh? I got my attention. He said, to obey is better than speaking in tongues. I think some of us who are, we love the word. We think we can get away. You know, just get away with stuff. No, I don't have to do it. But I don't, who are you? We need to think. Jesus told his own disciples, he says, sleep on. He said, don't sleep, sleep on. Look at the difference. Don't sleep, sleep on. Paul says, an heretic, after the first and second admonition, he says, let him be. What it means is, don't take chances. Be led. Are you there? Also, don't use fleeces. If Kule calls me, that means God. No, don't do things like that. Because if this can happen. I remember years ago, I wanted to. Was 21 years ago. I just knew I had to do something very new. So there was this church I was involved in, and I felt they were going to hand over. And I thought maybe I will be the next pastor. And I still believe I should have been. But somehow they didn't make me the pastor. And I felt really horrible. Why would these guys walk in the flesh?
I felt that way. So I want to say another minister of the gospel, very prominent in Nigeria, is late now. And so he beckons to see. Then he said to me, right in his office, that I want you to teach in all the churches. 1, 2. I want you to handle our Bible training college. And this was a ministry that was just not just in Nigeria, it was across Africa and around the world. What an offer. I just left people I felt I should have done something there, and I get somewhere they give me blank check. And the man said, I should just go and come back. And I knew in my heart, no. That was easy. It looked like a quick replacement. And you know, what else? Come and teach Bible, the will of God. Come and train ministers, the will of God. Around the world, the will of both of us. Hallelujah. When I went to Southern Africa the first time, and I got to the airport and I knew, was the same period I traveled. I was a bit, I took too many decisions at the same time. I traveled and I knew, I got to the airport and I knew, that's the wrong move. Wrong move. And God told me that I'm going to open doors for you without you doing anything close to what you just did. They're both in Africa. Both in East Africa and South Africa. He said that to me 21 years ago. That's a long time. Right? I was there. I went to preach. I taught in 11 churches in 1 week. It got to a point. In one of the meetings, they said, we booked you for 2 o'clock. We booked you for 2 o'clock. So I said, whoever comes first, to come out better, you know? So I go, they're taking him. Now preach. I go back to Lagos and I said, that was in the will of God. Even though people wanted me, even people were blessed, I taught the word, and all. And he said, you wait. I will open the door myself. And I just waited. Now I'm still waiting. Praise the Lord. It's good to be led. Hallelujah. Good to be led. Good to be led. This law. This law. I've been fast before. This law. And watch God. Don't throw fleeces. Since it is okay, don't throw fleeces. Since this happened, since that happened, no! And don't use others as a benchmark. My friends that bought a house, I was buy. My friends are married, I'm not get married. My friends are trapped. That's stupid. That's stupid. You don't watch the news to know what God is doing. You don't read opportunities and vacancies to know what God wants you to do. You are led before the vacancy. You are led before the news. Can I have an amen there? It's not the news that is the leading. It's not the vacancy or the link. You know, there are links now. So if you send one broadcast message to my phone, you'll forward it. I will forward you out of my contact. You don't want the temptation. Hallelujah. You'll be led. Paul was going to go to Asia. God forbade them. Acts 16, verse 6 down about that, yeah? Verse 9, 10, 10. Don't go. Don't go. But everybody is going. Everybody is doing it. Don't. Be led. Don't use fleeces. Don't use opportunities to judge God's leading. Train yourself to be led. Hear this. One obedience leads to more obedience. One disobedience leads to more disobedience. You don't sow to the flesh and reap from the spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. It says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap 7 and 8. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap of life everlasting. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Look at the parable of the sower examples. Jesus gave us those examples so we will know how the kingdom of God works like a seed. You put it on a good ground, you get a good result. You put it on a hard ground, you don't get any result. What does that mean? Watch the actions you take towards the word of God.
If you do disobedience, you do more disobedience. One disobedience leads to other disobedience. Don't let your heart get used to disobeying God's leading. Don't get to that point where you are used to not listening. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, there are people you have trusted that God has used them over there. I'm not asking you to trust men like you trust God. But hey, there are people you've trusted God needs to talk to. Trust them. Yeah. There are certain things that happen today in ministry to us in the Saints Community Church. There are men and women that have come to trust. But if this person prays and speaks, I know the person is full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost and speaks. That's God talking. And I know He said that to me as well. It just makes sense to be that simple about God's leading. Yeah. So, don't think. Okay, let me say another one. This is very vital. In working with God, you should have known this. He can do something, let me use one word, and get away with it. And you will do the same thing, and you will get away with it. Why? You don't know. So the best thing, yours may not be, his might not be a disobedience to God's leading. His might be ignorance. His might be something else. But yours could just be outright disobedience. And so don't say, oh, because this person did it, I'll do it too. That's stupid. Learn to be led by God's Spirit. Don't sow seeds of disobedience. Act and do the right thing. Also learn to fast. You can be led to fast. Jesus was led to fast. Fasting simply means abstaining from food. I think someone said, how do we fast under grace? I don't know why people talk like that. Say, grace fasting or Christocentric fasting. Is why. The guy doesn't say, when I fast, that was years ago in the 90s, said, you know, I'm full of the world. When I fast, say, I take tea in the morning. Food bread now. What tea? Your fasting is complete. And he was in the back. I looked at him and said, this guy, I don't know, what is he doing? I said, this guy, today, let me say it. It's, I heard not his ambition. Is that a problem? God knows what you're particularly about. It's what I just said now. Don't be any close to this at all. They're so afraid. Everything they have believed is on that back. This one is Abidjan 6. How's Abidjan in first? Anyway, but the point is this. I don't know what happened, I can't share it with you. I share some other day. Now, you know, fast. Just don't eat. I don't want to take water. The number of or the volume of water you drink is like a camel. You are fasting. I want to buy all the seaweed. What are you fasting for? No, I'm not taking food. I'm not taking food. Oh. Don't go to a book and go eat. I learned to fast without taking any drink. I don't take water at all. Sometimes I just let the fast. It could be a Sunday night. Past tomorrow.
That could be the reason. The flesh. The process. That could just be the reason. It's not that there's no evil or there's no direction anywhere. It's just fast. Deal with the flesh. That's all.
I don't want to see an angel. If I see an angel, I say, come here. So, learn to fast. Take some time to fast. A day, two, three, or more. Do things that increase your sensitivity to God's leading. For example, fellowship with other believers who are full of the word helps your sensitivity. Stay around believers who are full of the Spirit. Like I often tell you, there is no believer, no matter how much word you have in your heart, that can outgrow influence. I've told you, influence is not just where you go, it's what you read, who you talk with, who you chat with. Put a limit on our relationships. Let everybody who chats with you know the borderline of your conversations. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to guard your heart. Check that sensitivity in your heart. Watch it. And lastly, I just wrote on this. Okay, no, not just that. See, there's this subtle feeling we have, all of us, we do, I do as well, where you think when majority say something, it must be right. It's somewhere in our minds. For example, most countries believe in democracy, people come, they vote, and they believe, oh, the minority will have their way, majority will have their way, and all that. That's just a human mode of doing things. Let me say something to you. If you ask God to value this building, would he put a value to it? No. Because God never created anything to have a monetary value. So who created money? Man. Who decides money? Who decides value? Man. Who created prosperity? Man. Man is the one that determines how much your car is. God created it. He puts value. Man does. Man puts value even on human beings. See how wide that is. So you learn to listen to God's Spirit. Sometimes it's not the popular opinion, but it's the God's opinion. And finally, I close. Use your words right. Stop loading your minds with words of confusion. I don't know where to be. I'm confused. Fear can never be God's leading. I don't know what to do. Sometimes you don't say it with believers because you don't believe that you rebuke you. So you get all serious believers, you not get with other believers that you're comfortable saying all the trash to. And you say, and you're burning yourself. What you're simply doing is you're deepening your heart's reception. See, words have an effect on our hearts. Say the right thing. So God's leading me. He's leading me. Even though my mind isn't exactly there yet, God is leading me. God's directing me. I know in this circumstance that looks like things are slow, things are not expected. I'm just confident God's leading me. I'm confident that He has given me an impression in my heart as to what He's doing with my life, what's with my ministry. So you are thinking you should be afraid, you should be confused, you should be sad,
you are not. Because you are led from a different world. You are led from the Spirit. They expect you to be unhappy. They expect you to look the world. They expect you to put your attitude to not be happy, to not be excited about what you're doing, but you say, no, I'm led differently. I'm led differently. My perception of life is different. The way I see to do something, you know, you can get to a point as a Christian and nothing happens to me by surprise. You can get to that point where you say, you know what? I'm not led by circumstances. I'm led by the Spirit of God. And while you should be sad, agitated, you just are not. You just are not. You just aren't that way. It's a time you prayed. Not to pray. Not that anything changed on the outside, but something changed on the inside. Heard of God, let's go. Hallelujah. And so the process makes sense. Sense. How come someone, if this is God's name, how come that guy wanted to help me? How come that guy did evil against me? Wow. God's leading you to be patient, to walk alone. He's leading you. That's why, you know, why did this happen to me? Did I do something wrong? Did Jesus do something wrong? The part is only one man. As you know, they break character. They are led by God. And then, sometimes in those hard times, you learn the people, you learn consecration, you learn discipline. And you are glad that you are led by God. God doesn't always lead us to nice places. Sometimes He leads us to tough situations. And the process makes sense. But I'm toughened. I'm now better in prayer. I'm not better in the way I serve Him. I'm better in the way I minister the gospel. I'm better in the way I respond to men. I'm better in my use of words. Because I'm being changed through the process. Hallelujah. And all of these things, don't forget the simple things. And then, so much I want to give. So that you can get the control of that procession over your life. Give us all of the little stuff. Big deal. That's all. Some of you are led to do business to break their head and sleep. That's all. That's all. Whatever you're going to happen. Some work that is going to go. I'm a million's heart. I work in those will and purpose. Let's pray in tongues. Happy New Year tonight. God wants you to be grateful. I'm grateful. I love you. I love you. Because of your situations. Because of your people. Thank you.